The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Vice President Kamala Harris will be arriving sometime today. You know, the details have been a bit sketchy on exactly where and why. I wonder if that's by design. You think they don't want us to know where she's really going to be and when and what time? We came up with a little greeting here for her.
Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout, I'm telling you why. Kamala is coming to town. There's a really short list, her team is checking it twice. Dem-friendly spots where they'll treat her real nice. Kamala is coming to town. The border wall is falling, the drugs they'll flow right in. But Kamala's in Greenville to get you vaxxed, she'll be trying. Whoa, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Kamala is coming to town.
So you can still text us on the Big Rock text line, 877-235-9405. What should our response be? Many of you are saying we should just ignore the fact that she's here. A lot of others are saying we need to be on the sides of the road with waving our American flags and maybe a few signs here and there. On our guest line this morning, Paris Denard is Republican political commentator, columnist, communications strategic strategist. He previously worked in the White House of President George W. Bush and is presently a national spokesperson for the Republican National Committee. It's a pleasure to have Paris on with us this morning. Welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure thing. Vice President Harris, of course, coming to the upstate South Carolina, Greenville specifically. Not sure of the details and exactly where and how she's going to be. You think that's by design that they don't want us to know exactly where she's going to be right now?
You know, I don't know why they do that. That's been a trend of this Biden-Harris administration. But I will tell you, they probably do not want to have all of the people that would line the streets waving American flags on Flag Day, since we know the New York Times staffer felt that it was very troubling for her to see American flags while she was driving. But I will tell you that it's also President Trump's birthday, so happy birthday to him. So I don't think she wants this. They don't want her to see that there is still support for President Trump. There's still support for the American flag. And there's still a lot of people who want her to stop going on these PR tours and actually go to where the crisis is, which is on the southern border.
Yeah. Well, and look, Paris, I get the idea that they're really pushing to try to achieve that 70% vaccination rate among adults that the Biden administration promised. I understand that, but
right.
they could have chosen a different location. I mean, Greenville, South Carolina is not exactly a place that the Biden administration is welcome. I mean, Donald Trump just trounced Joe Biden here in the upstate of South Carolina. And so I'm just really curious of why they chose Greenville.
Well, it's all politics. Look, it's with them. This administration is not about putting people first. It's about putting politics first. And so we know the new head of the DNC is from South Carolina. We know that Congressman Clyburn did the same thing in terms of endorsing President Biden and helping him get a lot of the black vote there. And so there is an issue with vaccine hesitancy, which meaning the Biden-Harris team, contributed to, I believe, because of their consistent trying to dissuade the American people from trusting the vaccine and taking the vaccine because it was created under Operation Warp Speed. So I think ultimately it comes down to politics and them just trying to create political theater.
Yeah. on our guest line this morning, Paris Denard, with the Republican National Committee. Our governor, upon learning that the vice president was going to be here, Paris, he tweeted, "The vice president's valuable time would be better spent at the border trying to fix the mess created by the Biden administration's failed immigration policy." And that's kind of the welcome that she is receiving here. Let's talk for a minute about Biden's visit to the G7, meeting the Queen and some of the other things over the weekend. What's your take on it? What do you think Biden was successful in doing what he set out to do at the G7?
Well, I don't know what he set out to do at the G7. It's unclear. What we do know is that he decided to keep his sunglasses on while being with the Queen. I don't know if that was protocol or appropriate. We do know that he had a lot of time to rest and get prepared while we saw the First Lady, Jill Biden, sitting in the president's office. We saw her preparing, and then they were asked what he was doing, and she said he's been overly prepared. And it gets in his over preparation. He had time to go on long walks and go to a bar outside and sit down and rest and relax. And so he had a lot of leisure time there. When he was asked why he wasn't going to have a press conference with Putin, he said he didn't want to stand next to him. I think it's because he doesn't want to be embarrassed, because he knows that he's a weak leader. And I think that when you saw him do some of these statements at the press conference he did have, it was a very quick press conference. There was about maybe six people in the audience that were members of the press, and he took probably three questions and they rushed him off. There's only six people. Why don't you just take the time to answer everybody's question? So I think that in the visuals that you saw, it was more leading from behind. It's a lot of leading from behind, and not the type of a strength and power and representation of America being the leader of the free world that we would have expected from the President of the United States at the G7.
Yeah. Paris, one of the things that I noticed in that press conference, I'm glad you brought that up, and I want you to listen with me here. If Donald Trump had gotten in front of the press and said some of the things that Biden did the other day, I mean, it's very obvious that his staff had told him who he needed to speak with, who he called on, when to call on. Listen to this quick clip.
"Now, why don't I take some of your questions? And I'm told, Jonathan, I'm supposed to talk, recognize you first."
"Well, I appreciate that, sir. Thank you very much."
"I'm sorry, I'm going to get in trouble with staff if I don't do this the right way. Jennifer Jacobs, Bloomberg."
"Thank you, sir." "Thank you, guys. Thank you.
The European allies. Can I have a question about the European allies?"
"I'm going to get in trouble with my staff." "Yeah, go ahead, but I pretend that you didn't answer you."
"Thank you very much, sir."
"Now, why don't I take some of your questions?"
"I'm going to get in trouble with my staff," he says, if I take these questions. Or, "Jonathan, I'm told I'm supposed to call on you first." I mean, it was very obvious that it was orchestrated.
Not only was it orchestrated, I just think someone needs to remind him that he is the President of the United States. I mean, I think the buck stops with him, so I don't know who's controlling him or who has to tell him what to do or what he cannot do, but ultimately, he is the president. He should act like the president. The last question he did take was interesting because he said that he needs more time. He needs more time. More time? You know, I thought he had all the spending experience. This is 8 years of being VP. You know, he should have hit the ground running. But it seems that there's a large learning curve. It also seems to be him giving his leadership to other people. I don't know if it's AOC or if it's Speaker Pelosi or if it's the vice president or if it's his wife or whomever, but he does not seem to be leading. He does not seem to be in charge. He does not seem to be making the decisions that we need to get us out of all of these crises that he's put us in. Jobs crisis and economic crisis, the border crisis. I mean, it's a mess.
Yep. You're so right. I mean, we thought he would have led us all to believe during the campaign that his 40 plus years in our nation's capital had him prepared to hit the ground on day one. He was ready to go. Well, he obviously is not quite ready to go yet. Paris Denard, it's always good speaking with you. Thank you for what you're doing. God bless you, and have a wonderful Flag Day.
Thank you. You too. Appreciate it. Bye bye.
Yes. Appreciate your time.